Joining us on the phone this morning is Kim Young, the lead organizer for the Justice City Coalition. Kim, good morning, and thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning.
So, Kim, tell us about the march itself. What are you hoping to accomplish? What's the goal?
Well, the march came out of our community, and we're demanding change because we're just very tired of how the systems are built on white supremacy. And we wanted this march and rally to be a change agent, not just another formulaic a gathering where we light candles and we say a few peace epithets and then we go about our business and back to everyday racism the same as we've done for years. We decided with this one to ask our city legislature and our government leaders and those who are running for office to come and be prepared to just listen, not make speeches as we usually do. We have people from the community who will be talking. We have entertainment from the community. But along with that, we'll be presenting a call to action that will be delivered to both Duluth and Superior City Councils that's asking for real on-the-ground changes legislatively, educationally, and community commitment to make everyday racism disappear, to eradicate white supremacy in our systems, and we decided to keep to focus on what's happening locally.
Kim, the idea of white supremacy, everyday white supremacy, takes a lot of educating for white folks, because it's frequently seems like, oh, this is just the way that things are done, and you have to really get a gentle or sometimes not so gentle shove to look at the way things are set up and realize, oh, okay, this is not giving people a level playing field. Last night at the Local Solutions to Poverty gathering, there were a number of folks that asked city councilor candidates and school board candidates to commit to specific courses of action. And many of those issues had to do with leveling a playing field, with increasing perhaps teachers of color, with trying to level some of these racial and economic disparities in our community. When you talk about presenting calls to action and asking for specific changes, can you give us an idea about what some of the things are that you'll be asking for, or even some of the specific issues that you're going to try to address?
That's it, exactly. We're addressing the fact that everyday racism occurs whether you're walking down the street, whether you're in your place of employment, whether you're at school. We're addressing education as far as curriculum that is designed and implemented to talk about racism, to talk about hate crimes, to talk about white supremacy and systemic oppression, and how that needs to start to fountain up from the grassroots level. It needs to come from the people, because as we've seen in the past with education systems, they may get training from an outside source and it usually goes no further than the administrative level. The administrative level is usually trained in it, but then they don't know how to give the training themselves to their teachers and staff who need to get the training, and then it doesn't trickle down to the students. So we want it to come from the other end, because trickle down doesn't work. So we wanted it to fountain up. If we can get at education initiatives for social justice reform initiated on the ground level, get it started and being taught in the schools and to professionals and teachers and staff from people from our community who have that professional education to teach that. So we're looking at people of color coming in from that side and teaching it to, you know, to our teachers and to our staff and to our administrators, and working with the school system instead of against the school system. And so trying to close that gap right there. That's one of the opportunity gaps that is not closed in our system. We also have opportunity gaps in law enforcement, in the city government, in civic responsibility. We want to close those gaps by addressing employment issues, taking out language that is restrictive, taking out qualifications that are restrictive, also looking at addressing issues of poverty and violence in the community and just looking at the broad spectrum, I mean, we won't be able to cure everything right now, but what we're talking about is a document that's a groundwork document that can be built upon and worked on, and making that heartfelt and that lifelong commitment, because dismantling racism is not going to happen overnight. We know that, and we've had the conversations. The conversations are hard, they're raw, and they're rough, and we can no longer afford to coddle white people's sensibilities when it comes to talking about racism and white supremacy. It needs to be dismantled, and the only way you're going to dismantle that is to come at it from a different perspective. We're not going to dismantle racism using tactics and policies we've learned in racism.
When you talk about those conversations being hard and raw and rough and needing to step away from coddling people, and I understand the idea of dancing around the issue and trying to be polite and be Minnesota nice and that sort of thing, do you think you're going to be able to accomplish what you're hoping to accomplish, or do you think that there's going to be kind of a knee-jerk pushback, or people will begin another way that people can avoid is to take issue with your tone of voice or take issue with your approach? Instead of dealing with the actual issue, they can take issue with your approach. Are you concerned about that happening?
You know what? People have taken issue with black people for over 400 years. They've taken issue with Native Americans for over 400 years. They've taken issue with when we kneel, when we stand, when we protest silently, when we protest loudly. They take issue. So at this point, we have nothing to lose, because obviously, you know, talking sweetly about it, trying to carry on a nice conversation, have had basically the same effect. We've seen in the past city initiatives to, like the white privilege campaign that the city of Duluth did a few years ago. It bombed completely because they didn't have those voices of color at the table. They didn't listen to what was going on in the community, and they didn't listen to the people who were most affected by white supremacy, which, by the way, white supremacy enslaves everybody, not just black people, not just Native people, not just all people of color, but white people as well. White people are enslaved to it because they've been ingrained and indoctrinated into thinking that that's the norm and that's the way it should be. We need to change that. And the best way to change that is to shock people out of that complacency. But when you shock people out of that complacency, you just can't shock them and leave them hanging. You have to give them something to grasp hold of that they can accomplish themselves and that they can do. Because that's the biggest question we get back from people is, what can I do about it? It's just the way it's always been. It's just the system. Well, it's not just the system. It's all of us. And we all need to take a conscious effort to eradicate it. We all need to take responsibility and be accountable for not just our actions, but for the city's actions, for our education system's actions, for our own actions when we are in the street and when we're at work and when we hear those racist off-color jokes, or when we see a policy that's detrimental to my coworker of color but not to me. We need to take a stand and address those policies and change them. And it's not always the fact that the language or the tone of voice is brutal. Racism and white supremacy is brutal. So that's the one thing that white people need to understand. It's not fun. It's not pleasant for anybody who's a victim of it. It is brutal. It is life-threatening. It is mentality-killing. It is spirit-killing. And we need people to understand that this is a system that people have lived in for so long that a lot of people don't realize or feel like they can get out of that stuck place of racism mentality. And we need to shock people out of that, but we need to at the same time be affecting those changes and putting those into action.
Well, I think this is the really significant part of what I'm hearing, is the idea that there are some very specific actions being requested and a way to move off square one. And as you say, not just have another pleasant event where there are speeches and people say feel good things, but the idea is you're going to put your money where your mouth is and sign off on these particular changes. Kim, this is going to be a really interesting event coming up on Saturday. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. And it will be interesting to touch base with you after the event and find out where things are and perhaps what your hopes are for the future. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me, Lisa.
Kim Young joined us this morning as our guest. She's the lead organizer for the Justice City Coalition. Coming up on Saturday is the March to Dismantle the Legacy of Racism and Build a Community of Peace. They're coming together to recognize and respond to racism in the Twin Ports. The march gets underway on Saturday. It begins at 9:30 at the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial, and it leaves at 10 o'clock Saturday morning, goes down to Superior Street, and then back up to the Civic Center.